Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Way in Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, November 14th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Way in Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Michelle, for the introduction. Tonight is Wednesday, just like Michelle said. How's it going, Trey?
What's happening, brother?
Ready for a big weekend of college football, and we got a lot to discuss tonight, man. And you know, weeks like this when everybody's, you know, thinking it's a dead week of football coming up, maybe it's not as competitive or not as many upsets, that's exactly when it happens in November. Do you agree?
Well, I think the recipe is set. I got a couple of games that I think I may go out on a limb with tonight. Tarvin, I just may shock a couple people with some of my thoughts some of the teams that maybe are on lookout this weekend. I think that this weekend could be one of those weekends that we see some more undefeated go.
Yep, and maybe we can spice it up. Maybe in the winner of the pick'em this week, maybe Trey pays $100. What do you think?
Maybe Tarvin bakes a cake for. I don't know.
Okay, I could do that. I could bake a cake. It might not be good or up to the expectations of people, but I could bake a cake maybe. But, yeah, I mean, looking at it, and that's all I've heard. If you've noticed in football this week, ever since, you know, they talked about the Bama A&M game, no talk really about football this week. It's weird. Or maybe it's just me. I haven't been paying attention as much, but nothing is out there. I mean, no upsets are predicted. If you look at it, Trey, everything is pointing to Kansas State, Oregon. So that's what I want to talk about with you tonight and the listeners out there. Tell me what you think. I mean, why is it, and that's the main point tonight, why is nobody giving any SEC team love right now to make the championship? Because last year, Trey, they practically, everybody said, ESPN lobbied Alabama into that game, even with a loss. So when Alabama lost this past game, nobody is mentioning them making it back in the game. And later on in the show, I want to discuss that with you and the fans, of course. But a lot on the agenda tonight, and I was very, very surprised with Major League Baseball, the trade that happened between the Marlins and Blue Jays. What do you think about that?
I mean, this is, without a doubt, one of the biggest heists in sporting history. I mean, Jeffrey Loria, the owner of the Marlins, basically had the taxpayers build him a brand new stadium. They have a nightclub and a fish aquarium in this stadium. This stadium cost the taxpayers. I mean, we're in a recession as a country, and he sold a golden idol to Miami in the form of this stadium. He brought in all of these high-priced talent. He said that he was committed to them getting a team that they could have entertainment value, Tarvin, that they could have a team to give them something to cheer for in Miami. They even changed the team name to the Miami Marlins. And then what does he do a year later? He trades over half of his starting lineup away, including every single high-priced or decent player on the team. And Tarvin, this team, and for those of you listening, just something to think about. They have zero players on their roster who are actually contracted past the 2014 season. This team has no one left on this team who is signed anymore. Like, everyone's gone. Hanley Ramirez is gone. I mean, even the young players, like apparently Mike Stanton is now on the trade. I mean, what are they doing, Tarvin, to the fans of Miami after they made them build this stadium. They sold them up the river. How upset as a fan of baseball, Tarvin, or as a Miami Marlins fan, are you?
I'm very upset. And look at the roster. I'm going to name you a few players that were traded away, that's been traded. Hanley Ramirez, the third baseman we know, went to the Dodgers. Gabby Sanchez of the Pirates. Anibal Sanchez of the Tigers. Omar Infante to the Tigers. He fell to the Diamondbacks. And now listen to these names. Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, John Buck, and Emilio Bonifacio, I think that's his name, to the Blue Jays, and for all prospects. And do you think this had anything to do with the attendance that they've had? Because if you look at Florida baseball teams, it's not like a sellout every game or anything, Trey.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about, and I will definitely, I think that, you know, there's an argument to be made if you look at the other side of the coin for the management. But one of the things you got to look at, you know, when you're getting Jose Reyes and you're getting Josh Johnson, who has the potential to be a Cy Young candidate, you got to think, well, okay, maybe they got major league ready talent. Maybe they got the best prospects in the Blue Jays system. Well, those of us who know baseball, if you look at these prospects, Tarvin, they aren't even the best prospects in the Blue Jays system, and they're like the 20th prospect in the Blue Jays system. I mean, these guys aren't even number one and two, or four, five, six. These guys are 21, 28, 30. I mean, so this whole trade, even if that's the reason, Tarvin, the trade doesn't make sense on those grounds either. So, yeah, I mean, the Marlins weren't drawing the biggest fan base, but, I mean, you also got to think that halfway through the season, even before the trade deadline, they started trading players away. So, you know, that number is a little bit misleading, you know, on the fan base side, because the Marlins punched so early in the season.
Trey, how far were the Jays out of the first place or the wild card this year? How many games?
Off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure. It was single digits, though.
Okay, now you're adding Jose Reyes, a shortstop that has power, speed. He can hit homers, base hits. You have Josh Johnson, which is an ace pitcher on any staff. And then you throw a catcher in, John Buck, and even Mark Burley, a starting pitcher. And then you're throwing in a center fielder. I mean, this could easily propel them to first place next year. And I know a lot of people trade, but these guys have time to gel now. It's not like they came towards the end of the season. They have an entire offseason to get ready, to gel, to bond together. This could be bad news for the Rays and the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, this trade, I mean, this is already, I mean, you got to think the Orioles made the playoffs, right? I mean, so this is already a division that has the Yankees and Red Sox, who are perennial, you know, teams that just reload every year. They spend the money. You have the Rays, who barely missed the playoffs this year. You have the Orioles, who made the playoffs. Now you have the Blue Jays making this move. I mean, how good is this division going to be next year? And you got to look at the Rays this now, and I wonder, Tarvin, with these moves, is the Rays, do they become the worst team in this division?
Oh, definitely. I mean, my God, why would you even want to watch it? I mean, I just can't believe it. But, Trey, I don't want to waste any time with this. I need to take a call. I think they want to talk about baseball. 727, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, Tarvin? It's John Miklos.
Hey, John.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. Just listen to y'all badmouth my Rays there for a second. Easy. we did have 90 wins this year. And by the way, Toronto was 22 games out of first place. They finished 73-89.
Okay.
About the wild card, and where were they?
They were 20 games behind Oakland and behind Texas and Baltimore for the wild card. 20 games.
Okay, good.
I think Reyes Johnson and these other guys like to make up 20 games.
Well Batista was hurt as well.
Right, but one thing we keep forgetting, their pitching staff was one of the worst in baseball. Ricky Romero started 8-0 and then lost every start after that. They don't have a manager yet. They still have not hired somebody to replace Farrell. And we're talking about the prospects they gave up. They gave up their number 2, number 5, and number 8 prospect. And let's see, Mazurek, Nicolino and Hecheverria. Plus, giving up Escobar as a shortstop, you're getting Reyes back. They give up Mathis. They get John Buck back. John Buck was an animal up in Toronto. I don't know if you guys remember, but he was hitting 20 home runs every year for them. They're gonna like Bautista, but let's see how these guys gel together. Because Boston had the same lineup, type lineup this year. Detroit had a lineup like that, and look how slow they started.
That's a good point. That's a great point, actually.
I mean, look at the Angels. The Angels, nonetheless, you know, the Angels had, they had C.J. Wilson, you had Zach Greinke, Dan Heron, you had all these guys in, as starting pitchers. I mean, Mark Buehrle is a great pitcher. He'll eat innings. He'll have a low ERA, a sub-4 ERA. But Josh Johnson's still coming back from that elbow injury a couple years ago. He did not look all that great last year. I mean, you got to wonder if that elbow injury has had a negative effect on his psyche more than anything.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the Blue Jays, I mean, but, you know, you look at the Rays, and if you listen to us very long, you understand that, you know, I speak of the Rays out of love, not hate. You know, I lived in Tampa for a while, so I am a Tampa and Braves fan. But, you know, what has Tampa done in the last couple of years other than sort of put together some, you know, Kepinger-type players? I mean, this is not a team built to basically compete very long-term, and up to now, I'm not sure who they're going to reload with next year. Obviously, you like their pitching. They brought Shields back in, which is a good move for the Rays. They actually used that money. But, you know, one of the concerning things for the Rays is they don't get support in Tampa, so they're not able to actually spend. And Tampa's one of those teams that I think would spend the money if they had it. They're not like the Marlins who have the money and actually just abuse the power. I think that Tampa, if people would actually go out, they would actually spend the money wisely. They actually did a very good move by retaining Shields with the money. They actually gave Upton the qualifying offer. So they would have spent the money on Upton. But, you know, what are the Rays going to do now, and who are they going to bring in? Because if they don't bring in a bat, John, I have a real problem with their lineup going into the next year.
Well, we arguably have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, and when you have a guy like Shields, David Price won the Cy Young Award today. We did bring back Fernando Rodney. We have Kyle Farnsworth, who hopefully comes out of his funk that he was in last year. Chris Archer is our number six starter, and he could arguably be a three starter in any other team in baseball. Robinson Chirinos was coming on hot at the end of the year. Molina proved that he's not done the way he picked up his hitting at the end of the year. I mean, Kepinger being a free agent doesn't help. We need to bring him back. But I still have faith in guys like Ryan Roberts, who's still under contract, Longoria. We did extend Upton an offer. I do think we do lose him, though, but we still have Zobrist. Don't sell Zobrist short. Zobrist is one of the best utility players in all of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, he is, but you need more to do utility guys. They need an honest-to-goodness bat. I mean, Longoria is one of those pieces, but they don't have another piece, and first base is can't fill that void with Kepinger players. You need a star. You need a big bat. You need a 40 home run, 35 home run guy to compete with the Yankees and, you know, the Bautistas of the East. So we'll have to see if they actually do that and if they actually have the cap, the money, basically, because the fans aren't going to see them.
Right. Well, I don't know if you've been to that stadium, but it's not exactly in the greatest spot. They're talking about moving it to Northern Fine St. Pete. It's a lot more accessible to get to. That's one of the problems, is that it's really hard to get to that stadium, and they jacked up ticket prices so high. I mean, I remember going to Rays games when they first rebranded. It was $6 tickets, and you were end up sitting behind the dugout. You know, now it's $60 to get seats you used to get for $6. You also got to look, the Yankees, they're cutting cap. We don't know if Curtis Granderson's actually going to be there, if they're going to trade Granderson. Swisher's not coming back. A-Rod's obviously going into a slump. Boston still needs to try and reload after last year, but I don't think Boston has the pitching to handle a full season.
Yeah, there's a lot going to happen, and I'm going to make my predictions on this, but I'm going to wait just a little while before I start making some predictions. I'm going to have to actually study this. But, Jonathan, man, thanks for the call, and Jonathan's in the chat room, Trey. So, Jonathan, if you want back on, press 1 right now, and then if you need to come back on, just press 1 and we'll know you're in the queue. But Trey, let me read a quote from you from Buster Olney. I mean, he said this is an embarrassing deal for Major League Baseball. So when does Major League Baseball need to step in and stop something like this from happening? Because it almost looks like something else is going on with this, Trey. Now, you read a lot of the quotes. Buster Olney's got some. Some of the CBS writers were very, very vocal in their disdain for this move. Some of the Florida writers who I follow, I'm sure John, if he's a Tampa guy, probably follows some of the same guys on Twitter, were posting articles about this today. And just about, I mean, it seems like, you know, a lot of folks feel like there should be something in baseball. I mean, this is the kind of trade in the NBA the commissioner would step in. And I think a lot of folks are sort of having that kind of reaction to this, is that baseball seems to be the sport that you know, the commissioner never steps in. And that seems to be Bud Selig's mentality, is he never really does much of anything in the commissioner, I think, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff. So, you know, I would like to see a little bit more involvement when it comes to this, honestly, fleecing of a city. I mean, I just can't stand when a city pays for, you know, $1 billion stadium with such lavish you know, amenities, and then wants the owner to reap all the benefits because of, you know, the windfall that he got by basically selling this team piece by piece now.
Yeah, and hey, on this, on baseball, Jonathan, when we have a preview of baseball, I definitely want Jonathan to join us. What do you think, Trey?
Absolutely, Jonathan. And actually, I'll plug old John Miklos on Twitter. He's one of the he's a great Twitter handler. He actually posts all about sports. So if you like another one of our listeners on Twitter, he's a good Twitter handler. Like, all he does is post about sports. So good. None of the you know, I went to class today. It's all about sports.
Well, I can tell you this, and I'm not just saying this. He talks better baseball than probably anybody I've ever heard. Even better than Baseball Tonight or any of these guys. So, Jonathan, kudos to you. And I want to use Jonathan as my one of my baseball analysts, maybe, because I need one, because I don't get to study baseball as much as I have, but I will. But thanks for the call, Jonathan. That was great. Another thing, Trey, that happened, the Lakers pulled a fast one on Phil Jackson. What happened in this trade, man? Why did Phil Jackson not come to the Lakers?
It was an interesting whole way that I went down. Basically, one of the things that I guess the bus, which is an interesting name for this whole thing, because I think Phil Jackson thinks he got hit by a bus. I think they thought that the Princeton offense, which is what Mike Brown was running, was too similar to the triangle, and then that was part of the problem with the offense. Mike D'Antoni runs a much more open style, so they kind of thought that that Phil Jackson wasn't going to be the solution to all their problems. I think that's kind of insane, given Phil Jackson's credibility.
I mean, seriously, this guy they hired is a joke. I mean, he's a clown, and they're putting him on the sideline. Why did you fire the coach to begin with? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is the worst hire they could have possibly made, in my opinion. Phil Jackson, if you really want to win championships, why don't you sign him? But also, he probably wanted a little more control and a little more piece of the pie. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that may have been part of it, too, when it comes to the bus. I mean, because, I mean, here's the thing. I think Mike D'Antoni comes in and is the coach. I think Phil Jackson comes in and wanted to be the general manager and the coach, sort of, you know, that kind of power and control. So, you know, I think that obviously had a part to play in it. But you got to also think that, you know, the way this went down is kind of, it was kind of dirty too, because I mean, you know, Phil Jackson left that meeting kind of thinking that, you know, it was his to decide upon. He was going to think about it overnight and get back to him. Turns out that was not it at all. I think the ownership looked at it as, hey, you're interviewing for our job, and we went the other way. So yeah, I think Phil Jackson left with a very bitter taste in his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, let's just give a shout out to the chat room real quick. People are starting to pile in. There's a new listener, Jeremy Bird. I believe he's new. He might have been here before. But Jeremy Bird, hello. Thanks for listening. Call in anytime. Share with us. Brian Burgess is in the chat room. If everybody remembers, he was one of our Pick'em champions. Chris Smelly, Jason Humphrey, Jason Minson, Jonathan, he was just on, Joshua Shaw, Sonia, the one and only Minson, and Trey. So we're going to Everybody's going to start piling in here, and we've got a lot to discuss tonight. But the Lakers trade, are they really a championship contender, even with the lineup they have, with Nash being hurt? Will he be healthy enough? Will the Lakers make a deep run in the playoffs?
Yeah, I still think the Lakers are going to do pretty well. I mean, once Nash gets back, as somebody said in the chat room, D'Antonio and Nash have a great history. Nash won two MVP awards with D'Antoni. So, I mean, this is going to be a match that's going to go well. I think Kobe is going to play well regardless. I mean, this is going to be either offense suits Kobe well. I mean, Kobe suits just about any offense well. So this is going to be just fine when it comes to the Lakers. The question is going to be, is they play the defense necessary to win in the NBA when it comes down to, you know, the playoffs, and it comes down to playing the Spurs, you know, and playing the Heat. But that's questions that are going to be answered much later, Tarvin. The question of whether they're going to make the playoffs and make some sort of run, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I just don't see Kobe sitting back much longer. I think Howard, just like Jason said, they're going to make a run by the All-Star break. They'll be hot. So I just see the Lakers probably finishing second or third in the West. I still think San Antonio in the regular season, they're one of those teams that just win regular season games. They understand how to win. But when it comes to playoffs, the Spurs struggle a little bit. So I still like the Spurs to get it done in the West, but I still don't believe the Spurs are going to make it past the first or second round, just about the same as last year. So Lakers will be there at the end of the day. I don't think OKC will. I think losing Harden, Trey, I've watched OKC play several games this year, and they're just not the same team. And I know it's early, but I can tell they have a lot of work to do to gel in order to make up for the loss of Harden. Someone else is going to have to step up on that bench, and I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Martin is certainly playing well so far with that team, but when it comes down to whether he's the same kind of catalyst that Harden was at times, now we'll see. It's a long season. If Kevin Martin can be the spark, I mean, that Harden was. Now, the knock on Harden and what may actually be different for them is when Harden came in, especially in the finals, he was not good. I mean, he played terrible against the Miami Heat in the finals, Tarvin. I mean, that's one of the big knocks on Harden. And what some of the people who actually were proponents to this trade think that, you know, Martin is better because Martin won't come in and try to run the game. And if he does so poorly, run the team to the ground at the time. So we'll have to see if Kevin Martin is going to be the kind of player that complements them well enough in the playoffs to make a run. You're right. I haven't seen it just yet, because Kevin Martin is streaky, and a streaky shooter can go cold, just like we all know. So we'll have to see if Kevin Martin is the kind of guy who can get hot in the playoffs and actually do something for him.
Okay. Any surprises so far in the NBA? I know the Brooklyn team, Trey, you weren't very high on. They're 3-2 right now, fourth in the East. Any reason I should think they're going to stay there?
Well, I think they're going to be just fine when it comes to the East, because the East is pretty weak. I mean, you're talking about teams like the 76ers, who are generally regarded as a pretty good team, and they're getting blown out by an 0-8 team right now by 20 points. So, I mean, I don't regard the East as a very hard conference to do well in. But Brooklyn is not a serious contender for the NBA Finals or to be a legitimate contender for the Heat. I mean, Brooklyn is a team that, to me, it doesn't seem to have the physical and the defensive prowess to be very good when it comes down to the good, the really elite teams in the NBA.
Yeah, and Joshua Shaw, he doesn't think OKC is going to be good without Harden, and he also thinks the Rockets are going to be a playoff contender, and he's not sold on Kevin Martin, so thinks he's injury prone. So back to that, but Atlanta Hawks here in Atlanta, 3-3. I believe. I mean, I think they're not – I don't know what they're going to do without Joe Johnson, Trey. I don't know if Smith's enough to really get the Hawks, you know, a long season to the deep in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, Smith is a guy who usually takes some time to get going in the season, so we'll have to see how Smith – if Smith can carry this team. There's a lot of folks who certainly think that he can. But I don't think the Hawks are gonna make the run. They need a piece. So we'll see if they're going to go out and grab somebody. But to me, yeah, I think they lost some firepower. I don't think, you know, Teague is the kind of guy that I think they thought he was. He's still improving, but I think they really thought that he was going to be a lot further along in his maturation than he is right now.
Yeah, before we get off NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies, the team that I had winning, you know, going to the Western Conference Finals last year, they're in second place with a great record. Is this a facade, Trey? How long will this hold up, or do you think Memphis is the real deal?
I think Memphis is a pretty solid team. I mean, they beat the Heat the other night. They're a team that can play well together. They seem to have the pieces that play well together. They don't have the player. You look at that roster, and you don't, as a fantasy basketball player, you don't, you know, just drool over their team. But they do have, you know, a good solid group of guys, and right now that's what they need. As long as those guys all stay healthy, Marc Gasol is certainly a very important piece to that puzzle. He plays great defense. So right now, I think they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs, and they could cause some noise.
Well, Jason, Minnesota team is number five. He said they bought a European team, and the Timberwolves are 5-2 right now, I believe. That's good for Minnesota right now. The West is loaded as always, but I mean, not now. Looking at it, some teams are underperforming right now, and I think will come back. So, a lot to sort out, and probably in the next week or so, Trey, we need to do our NBA, you know, predictions, go over each conference, and kind of give our sleepers and everything. So we'll definitely be doing that. But college basketball last night, real quick, two big games. Michigan State played Kansas. Michigan State was, I think, a 3.5-4 point underdog. Michigan State played great. I watched that game, Trey. I text you back and forth. Very impressed with Tom Izzo's team. It just seems like anytime they're in a big game, Izzo knows how to motivate his players and get a big win, especially coming off a loss. Did you get to watch it?
I actually didn't want to see any of the game, but I did see some. I did see the highlights, and you know, Appling is a player that, you know, played really well at times last year, and he has to step up pretty big up this year. He didn't play very well in their opening game, so that's the reason why. I mean, he's the guy who has to be more consistent. If he plays like he did against Kansas, this is a team that can make a deep run.
Yep, and the last game of the night in Atlanta was Duke and Kentucky, and I had a feeling Kentucky was going to lose this game without their point guard out with the flu. And just early in the season, Trey, these Kentucky Wildcats, they're very young, trying to learn how to play together. So let's fast forward to March right now. Where are Kentucky and Duke in your mind? Duke with a big win last night. Is Kentucky the better team in March?
We'll have to see. I mean, you know, young players, we'll have to see how they get. I mean, obviously Kentucky, with the recruiting they have, and these guys, you know, as in numbers-wise, Tarvin, we talked about this before. I mean, Kentucky has the numbers games to say these guys can make a run for what they did last year, talent-wise. We'll have to see if they continue to mature and gel together. But, I mean, I see no reason why, based on paper, this team doesn't end up making a run again.
Well, I'm going to tell you something I noticed about Duke, and I don't see much of a change from last year. They're very soft, and they shoot too many three-pointers, and people don't want to take it to the hole and you know, drive and get fouled or dunk. They want to shoot threes, and when a team does that, it's very dangerous because if you're cold one night, you're beat. And that's what happened to them last year. I think they lost three of their last four games. They got beat. Who was that to beat them in the first round of the tournament? State Community College or something?
Yeah, something like that.
But, I mean, that's the problem with Duke. They're going to have to get the physical basketball in order to win, because I see Kentucky, they looked good last night. They lost the game without their point guard, but I really think Calipari is going to have these guys going on all cylinders. And he made a comment, you know, he does think they're going to get a lot better, and he doesn't see a team in basketball that's really that much better than anybody else right now. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, we talked before, I mean, I think this is one of those years that it's kind of hard to predict who's going to be the elite team, because I just don't see it right now. Every team looks like they could lose a few. You know, I mean, this doesn't look like a season we're going to have a 30-2 team. You know, it looks like there could be a lot of teams with 4 to 5, 6 losses. So, you know, every team looks like they're beatable. You know, somebody mentioned this in the chat room, Tarvin. I didn't know Calipari was whining about Duke and flopping. I thought that was a little bit inappropriate for Calipari. I mean, come on, you know, handle losing with a little more grace than that. You know, your team won a national championship. You can take a little bit of hardship this year, a little bit more of a class.
Trey, Calipari is the best coach in basketball, dude. He knows how to recruit. If he wants to cry a little bit, let him cry. The guy's worried. He recruits hard. He gets these guys to come play. And I know probably people in the chat room hate me right now. Sonia said, are we talking Calipari? Everybody thinks he's
crying. He's crying.
I know. I just want to get people riled up in here. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the first games of the season. My God. I mean, it's just, okay, they're flopping. Who cares? You're not going to play them again until the tournament anyway. These games mean absolutely nothing right now, really. I mean, people are going to lose early in the season. Kentucky got to find out where they are. You know, they're not far off from deep without their point guard, but let this team get rolling, and I'm telling you, they're going to be a force to reckon with, be reckoned with later. But we'll do our college basketball preview too. But Trey, there's a Texas A&M football player real quick that's missing, and I read that on the news. Did you hear about this? I think he's been gone since Tuesday morning. He's been missing. Everybody's looking for him.
I don't know much about this. I heard about this, I think, on Twitter today. I saw a repost about it. I don't know much other than there's a Texas A&M player missing.
Well, I thought an Auburn guy told me this, and I thought he was joking, maybe going to say something, maybe about an Alabama fan got him. But I did look into it, and it's a sad story, and prayers are with him, his family, and we hope for a safe return. This is terrible. I mean, this is a distraction, but it's also a life of someone out there. You never know what can happen this day and age. So everybody keep him in your prayers and his family. And we're going to be talking college football in a while, but the trade, we lost the pick'em this week to Lacey Key, of all people. She's driving right now listening to us. And Joshua Shaw again. I was thinking about, I think three times is the limit to win, right? And then we suspend you from the competition.
I don't know what Joshua Shaw does to keep winning, but Josh, I don't know if you're a gambler, but you might want to look into Vegas if you keep doing this.
I mean, every week is like, oh, I had a bad week. I was 13 for 15, but I can't. I mean, I had a decent week. I think I hit 12. 12 out of 15 is not bad, I believe. I might have been 11. I can't remember, but I do well in the NFL these days. It seems like college is. If I lose, it's right there picking all these upsets. But Joshua Shaw, congratulations again, and we'll get you on later in the show to make your picks with us. Lacey, when you get to a point where you can call in later in the show, please call in so we can get Lacey on air. I'm sure she has a few words to say to Chris Smelly, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. The rivalry between Lacey Key and Smelly is going down as epic on our show.
It's a big rivalry. I love hearing these guys. I go in the message board sometimes just to see these two. They're great. So, Trey, start us off in our NFL picks right quick. We're going to do five games, and we're going to have some fun tonight. So take us through.
Yeah, these games on paper, when you look at the names, they might sound easy, but when you consider some of the injury, the quarterback injuries that are going on in the NFL, not so fast. So the first game, Tarvin, is the Chargers. At the Broncos.
Sonia's excited. We're on football now. All right. So you got the Broncos first, right? Against the Chargers.
Chargers or the Broncos.
Well, this is an easy choice for me. I mean, this is not much of a game. Denver is starting to heat up, Trey. They're playing football right now, and for some reason, I can't find my sheep. That I wrote my prediction on. So I'll find that. You go ahead and break yours down.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you got to be really concerned with is, again, the Chargers seem to be doing their annual implosion of, Norv Turner firing, not firing. Is Phillip Rivers the worst quarterback ever or the Hall of Famer? The pick he threw running towards the sideline was when they were protecting the lead. Was just atrocious. I mean, just atrocious. I mean, so you got to be concerned again. This is the time of year where you get terrified if you're a Chargers fan with how terrible they're playing. The record, again, they're right there in playoff contention, but, this is a team that looks like they're on the upswing versus a team that looks like they're on the downswing. So, for me, it's the Broncos all the way.
Yeah, why is Norv Turner a coach anywhere? That's what I don't understand. I mean, this guy – seems like he's been in the Chargers since Reagan's been president, since he was president. But, Denver's at home, an afternoon game. Chargers are terrible. Denver is on a roll. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning again. They're starting to play defense. I like Denver big in this game. I know the spread's 7, but I like them a lot more than that. I just don't see San Diego being able to keep pace on the road. They're not a very good road team. But this is a division rival game, but I still like Denver. So I'm going to pick Denver. Let's go to the chat room and see what everybody's picking. And then also, make your predictions. Go to Facebook. We have a Weigh In Sports message board. Make your predictions there. Or we have a Weigh In Sports Talk fan page. you can go there and make them. But it's a lot of fun entertainment in there sometimes. So make your picks so you can get credit for them. So everybody in the chat room is picking the Broncos. So it's the Broncos by a landslide.
All right. I'll move us on, Tarvin. Our next one is this is one of those ones that I don't know. This one could be tricky. The Packers are 6-3 going on the road against the 4-5 Lions, who, again, up and down Lions, you know, are they bad or are they good? This could be a little bit of a rivalry game. What do you think, Tarvin? Is it the trap game for the Pack?
Yeah, I do believe so. I really do. I think Detroit at home, after playing bad last couple of times, they're going to actually beat the Green Bay Packers at home this weekend. I look for Stafford to have a big day. I'm not very impressed with Green Bay's defense. Jordy Nelson is coming back, I believe. You would know, Trey, since he's on your fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big impact, but I do think the defensive line of Detroit gets after Aaron Rodgers this week. It creates some turnovers, and I think they win this game in a very close one.
Well, you know, one of the interesting points about Detroit and their struggles, they've played 6 of their 9 games so far on the road. I mean, they've had a rough schedule. I mean, when you play 6 of your first 9 games in the NFL on the road, that's tough, Tarvin. Playing in the NFL on the road is not easy, no matter who you're facing. That's just the way the NFL goes. Green Bay on the road is 2-2, so they don't exactly tear it up on the road. This is Green Bay's only second game in the division. Detroit's 0-3 in the division. That actually bothers me. So this is kind of one of those numbers you look at on paper, and you look at, maybe this is the trap game, but I just look at it. I think the Packers are playing a little bit more consistently. I am a little concerned with some of the injuries for the Packers, but I'm going to go with the Packers. Probably a little bit of a homer pick, but
yeah,
I think this could be a Detroit win, but I'm going to go with the Packers.
You are a homer, Trey, but that's okay, man. Everybody needs homers.
Like I said, this could go the other way. I don't think this is easy. What does the chat room say?
Well, I have one. Jeremy Bird says Detroit. Jason Humphrey, Jonathan says Packers. Sonia Packers. Brian Burgess, Green Bay, no problem. What Jason say? Jason likes Green Bay. So I think Shaw's picking Detroit. I thought he picked. But anyway, yeah, Detroit. So it's mixed right now. That's weird. I thought I'd be the only one picking Detroit in this game, but obviously I'm not. So watch out for this game. Circle it. And this could be the deciding game in our pick'em.
It could be, and this next game as well. You have 2-6-3 teams battling off the rookie. You know, you can imagine the terrible Colts from last year, and all of a sudden Andrew Luck has them at 6-3. They're going on the road against the Patriots at 6-3. Tarvin, what do you think the chances that Andrew Luck goes on the road and beats Tom Brady?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm looking at this, and I've seen the Patriots play this year, and I haven't been impressed. I mean, they're barely getting by. Their schedule hasn't been that tough, but I think they beat Buffalo by 4 points last week, 3 or 4 points. And Sonia just mentioned that Sue was voted the dirtiest player in the league. That's exactly why I'm taking them, Sonia. So, he's going to get in there and get some late hits. Looking at this game, it's a no-brainer to me at home. I have to take the Patriots. I like the Colts. I mean, I think they're improving. They're so much better with Andrew Luck. I really like these Colts. I like to watch them. But I just don't think they might have enough to really for Luck to go, one-on-one with Tom Brady. I just like Tom Brady to get it done at home. I think they're a 9-point favorite, Trey. That's about right. I would probably put it at 7 by the way the Patriots have played lately. But the Colts can create some turnovers, and Andrew Luck plays like he's been playing, the Colts could easily pull this off.
Yeah, I saw a stat this morning about, and I'm probably going to get the stat wrong because I didn't write it down, but it was talking about Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, and he was, I think he's undefeated, and he had, like, I think two touchdowns against, like, 9 interceptions, some crazy stat. Basically, the point of it is Belichick, his defenses really tear apart rookie quarterbacks. It was the really point of the stat. So I'm going to stay consistent with Belichick's defense against rookie quarterbacks. I mean, Luck is on the road. The Luck is a different quarterback, 4-1 at home, different on the road with interceptions. I think Luck probably throws 2 to 3 interceptions in this game. Probably close to 300 yards passing because they're going to be coming from behind. But I think the pass are impressive on defense in this game, and Tom Brady and Gronkowski match up and do well.
Well, I have a question for you and everybody in the chat room. How long is it going to be before Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in the game?
Well, he's going to need a running game for one to get there. I mean, he's got to balance his offense out, but Andrew Luck has a lot of talent, and he's going to be an elite quarterback in the league for sure. I think he's going to be up there soon, Tarvin.
Yeah, Chris Melly says 2 years. Jonathan says when Peyton, Rodgers, and Breeze retire. That's a good one. Jeremy Bird says 4 years max. I'm with Smelly on this. Jason Humphrey says 5 years. I think 2-3 years, this guy is going to be unstoppable. And, you know, looking at him, he has every tool you would want in a quarterback. This guy is unbelievable. And the Colts look like geniuses drafting him ahead of RG3 right now. But this
year,
Carvin. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things about him is, isn't he leading all quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns? I mean, talk about doing it all.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And the Colts, GM and the ownership, they look like geniuses because a lot of people were talking about taking RG3 ahead of Andrew Luck. And we talked about this on the show during the draft and everything. They made a great decision, Trey.
Yeah.
But a lot of football left to be played. Injuries do happen, and you never know what happens. So Chris Miller says Cam was a dual threat, and they never last in the pros. Well, Cam can throw the ball too, so we'll see. I think he's going to grow up and be a great quarterback. Him and Andrew Luck could have some battles, but it's going to be fun to watch. So, Trey, I think Chris Melly picked the Colts in this one. I think that's the only one I saw with the Colts. Looks like everybody else is sticking with the Pats.
All right. Well, this next one, Tarvin, this is the Sunday night football game. And I think a lot of folks, when you looked at this game before the Roethlisberger injury news came out, probably thought Steelers at home. This is probably a Steelers win. But, you know, Roethlisberger now has a severe rib injury. He says he's not out for the year, but a lot of people are questioning when he might come back this year. Ravens are 7-2. Flacco is coming off, you know, the up and down weeks he has. He was up last week. So 7-2 Ravens at the 6-3 Steelers.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger is one of those guys that could get two or three ribs removed and then play the next hour. So never count Ben Roethlisberger out. But this is a huge division game, and if I'm thinking about it right, don't the Ravens lead the Steelers by one game in the division, or is it right the opposite?
Yeah, they do, and you know, Pittsburgh is 4-0 at home. I mean, I know that's with Roethlisberger, but they're still an undefeated team at home.
Exactly, but, you know, Baltimore, having a quarterback that's established, and if Ben's not playing, I don't give them too big of a chance to win this game because you have to be able to score points, and not being able to have your main quarterback there to go against the Ravens defense, even though the Ravens defense is not the Ravens defense of old with all the injuries, I still like Baltimore to get it done on the road in this game because I just don't think – I think they played Monday night football, so they haven't had that much time to prepare. I like Baltimore in this game.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Leftwich is, I think, 0-7 in his last seven starts dating back, you know, number of years that he's actually started. You know, he's been a backup quarterback most of his time. So, you know, Leftwich has not been a very successful starter. I mean, I think I tweeted out what that stat was. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I tweeted that out today. Leftwich is, you know, not very good at starting quarterback recently and whatever he started. So, you know, I just, even though the Steelers are undefeated at home, that's Roethlisberger. I think the Ravens are going to keep this ball on the ground. They're going to control this game, and Leftwich is going to, you know, he's going to throw some inter. He's going to turn the ball over at some point, and it's going to lead to a short field for the Ravens, and it's going to make the difference. I think the Ravens win this game.
Yep, and I think a lot of people think the same thing. Byron Leftwich, I mean, he's not that great, but he's a tough kid as well. But Pittsburgh, you know, I'm not a Steelers fan, don't get me wrong, but I love the way they play. I love their coach. I love the way they run the football. I love the way they play defense. So you can never count a team that can play defense out. I wish Polamalu was back. That would make my pick a little easier, but I have to go with the Ravens right now just to get it done, just because of this. If Ben was playing, I would easily take the Steelers in this game.
but you bring up a point. I mean, it's not just Ben Roethlisberger who's out. I mean, Polamalu's out. Ryan Clark is still out with a concussion. All those guys have been basically ruled out for this game, and, there's a couple other guys out. So, I mean, the Steelers are hurting. So, you know, it's not just Ben Roethlisberger. Not to mention they're down to, I think, their third starting running backs. I mean, I know that they're doing okay running the ball with Dwyer and, you know, whatever guy they have off the street. But the point is they're hurting by more than just Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep, and that leads us into our big game, the number one game with no point spread on this game Monday night. The Niners, is that the Monday night? No, that's, yeah, that's Monday night. The Niners and the Bears, Trey. Big game?
Yeah, and what really annoys me and is about this game is I have to say that it's the 7-2 Bears at the 6-2-1 49ers. I think that's retarded, but you know, stupid rules that we can still tie in the NFL. But Tarvin, I mean, Alex Smith, concussion last week, but been cleared to play in this game. So Jay Cutler, concussion, not cleared to play in this game. So what does that mean for you in picking this game?
I'm going to definitely pick the Niners at home, even if Cutler was playing, as long as Alex Smith is playing. They played terrible last week. Like you said, the game ended in a tie. I like the Niners' defense in this game. They really shut down the Bears' offense. They'll have a lot of trouble scoring. So the Niners get it done easy at home. I'd put a line on that game probably at about, without Cutler, probably at about 10. And I would take the Niners all day long.
Yeah, I think even without Alex Smith, I think Kaepernick is a better backup than Jason Campbell is. Because Kaepernick actually, if you watch him play, he's kind of exciting. I mean, he makes dumb mistakes still because he hasn't played a whole lot. But he actually can move the football down the field for the 49ers. So if Alex Smith, even if he has a setback and can't play, but it looks like he's going to play, I like the 49ers in this game. It's at home, and I just don't like Jason Campbell in this game. I don't like the fact that I didn't like the way he played last week. And so, yeah, I think the 49ers at home get it done. I think Alex Smith will play, and I don't think we're going to see Cutler in this game.
Got a better quarterback than Jason Campbell right now. So I don't have too much faith in him. So that wraps up our NFL game. Any games that stand out to you that almost made your list with any interest at all to you?
Well, to be honest, a lot of the other games are you know, I think there's going to be an upset in the NFL like there is every week with a team that you don't expect to win that wins. But, I mean, there's just a lot of on paper, a lot of these matchups shouldn't be that way. The Thursday night game could be interesting, Miami and Buffalo. I mean, that, if it wasn't a Thursday night game, it could have been on our list. I mean, 4-5 against 3-6, but actually a relatively closely matched game.
Well, Jonathan in the chat room said that the Bucs will demolish Carolina, and I hate to tell him that Carolina in a revenge game at home will get it done over Tampa Bay this week. Look for Cam Newton to blow up. So
I'm going to go with that.
Okay, you're going to go with your homer pick, Tampa, right?
I'm going to say Josh Freeman's going to throw for 3 touchdowns.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, right. Whatever, man. Whatever. Sonia wants to know when we're going to talk some football, so we're about to talk it right now. So, Trey, here's the deal. We have some college football games to discuss right now, but something I mentioned in the show earlier is ever since Alabama lost to Texas A&M, nobody, and I mean nobody, is talking about them getting to that championship game. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a little naive, Tarvin, and there's still way too many big games for the three teams that could happen. I mean, I think all three could lose. I mean, I think that all three teams have the schedule that match up so easy that they can't lose is just impossible. I mean, Oregon plays some pretty tough teams. I mean, you got obviously Kansas State has a couple of good games on the road for them, and then Notre Dame has been so up and down, and especially at home. Then who knows if they lose. So, I mean, I just don't think that we have those teams this year. I mean, certainly I think the odds are against it, but, I mean, I don't think it's improbable at all.
Well, I mean, you hear so many people out there. I watched ESPN, and all they're doing is sitting there picking Kansas State, Oregon, the choice is 1-2. But, look, the SEC, and I'm not trying to be a homer, I promise. I'm just looking at it through football eyes. 6 years in a row these guys have won it, and they dominated it. And so looking at it now, is Kansas State, what makes Kansas State so good that they can't lose against Baylor at night on the road or against Texas? Are you telling me Notre Dame's not going to lose against Southern Cal? And even Oregon, the tough matchups against Oregon State on the road, Stanford this weekend, I'm not buying that game. I think Oregon wins big. But it's possibly they still have to go play Southern Cal the second time. So looking at this, I mean, I won't tell you a prediction. It's not going to happen, but it could. All three of those top three teams lose. Alabama wins the SEC championship game and plays Florida in the national championship. That could happen. It's very unlikely, but that's how much things can change from week to week in college football. And to sit here and say I'm going to crown Kansas State and Oregon in the championship game, I'm not going to do it because I know there's so much left. Kansas State's a good football team. Are they great? No. Oregon is they win a lot of games and score points. Are they great? We really don't know yet. So there's still a lot. Alabama was tested, you know, playing a tough schedule, 2 weeks in a row on the road at LSU at night, an emotional win. They come back and play probably the hottest team in football. They got down 20 points early. They came back, should have won the game. They didn't. So Alabama, Trey, just think if Alabama wins that game and just say Kansas State loses, does a one-loss Alabama team jump an undefeated Notre Dame team?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be that would be BCF nightmare, and I don't want to see it, Tarvin, to be honest, because you know, you shouldn't have a, you know, the strength of schedules are not that far off between Notre Dame and Alabama. I don't know what we'll see at the end when the strength of schedules come out, and so we'll have to see. I don't think it's I don't know. I would be really hard for that to happen, but I mean, it's definitely not impossible with depending on how Alabama's strength of schedule plays out with the SEC championship game.
Yeah, and Smelly doesn't think so with the love the media has. But look, at the end of the day, what do the people want, and what do they want to see? I mean, do you want to see Notre Dame and Kansas State in a national championship game, Trey? Be honest with me.
If they're both undefeated, I do. I mean, I'll be honest. Really? I think absolutely. I want to reward undefeated. I mean, both teams have played decent enough schedules. I mean, absolutely.
Decent.
Well, I mean, to be honest,
Notre Dame played a decent. Kansas State played a good
schedule. Yeah,
but Notre Dame, I don't think they played a good schedule. I think it looked good prior to the season, but really, if you look at the end of the day, Oklahoma and Southern Cal are really the only teams on that schedule.
Well, I'm trying to pull up the strength of schedules, but give me a second, I can pull it up.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep going, but looking at it, guys, Notre Dame is not going to go undefeated. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to happen. Lane Kiffin has one thing on his mind. I mean, his team is out of it, but he can play spoiler and still make a Rose Bowl. He knows he can't win a championship, but there's two teams. You have Oregon and Kansas State. That's who Alabama and Georgia is focusing on right now. Alabama and Georgia are looking at these two. If one of them slip up, I'm telling you, it's going to be an Alabama or Georgia in that game, probably playing Oregon, but who's to say, man? These November games get crazy, and I sit here for years and years and years and listen to these experts predict the game and think they have it sewed up. I remember one night, number one and two team were favored. I think West Virginia was favored like 28, 30 points over Pittsburgh and lost, and I think Missouri was big favorites and lost in the same night. So tell me the strength of schedule real quick.
Yeah, here it is. So far, Kansas State is at 29th in the country. Oregon is at 45th, which is the worst of the contenders. Notre Dame is at 28th. Alabama is at 14th. And Georgia is at 40th, which is right next to Oregon.
Okay.
So Kansas State and Notre Dame are close, but not too far off from Alabama.
If Georgia beats Alabama, and after they play, you know, that game, a top-five matchup, how far do you think their strength of schedule will move up?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, this is obviously very fungible. We don't know how this is going to change. I mean, you know, Notre Dame this week has Wake Forest. I mean, that's gonna affect their strength of schedule. You know, that USC game, depending on how many games they lose, is going to affect people's strength of schedule. So, you know, this is clearly going to change. But that, you know, the point is that, you know, Notre Dame's not going to drop to 98 in the strength of schedule. I mean, they may drop to 38. I mean, it's not going to drop that far, you know.
Yeah, and nobody thought last year that Iowa State, you know, would upset Oklahoma State and cause chaos. And it could happen. Baylor, and we'll talk about that game. That leads us into our game right here. We have number 10. I think Kansas State goes on the road to Baylor, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm just curious, Carvin. This is the game that you told me was going to be on your upset alert. Do you still have it on your upset alert?
Definitely. I mean, I put Kansas State on my upset alert every week, and I've been wrong so far every week. I haven't picked them. I think I have picked them to lose every week, haven't I?
Last couple weeks, I think you have.
Well, Baylor is the second offense in the country, but the only problem with Baylor, they couldn't stop a cold. So that's the problem. I mean, look, a night game on the road against a team that can score, yeah, but the decline, I think, is just too much for that Baylor defense. And Kansas State special teams is something that people don't talk about. So I like Kansas State to win a close one. And when I say close, the point spread's 11. I think maybe a 10-point game. That's a close game. But don't be surprised if Baylor jumps on them early and scares them. But I'm still predicting that big Texas win over Kansas State in a couple of weeks. So I'm not going to pick the upset yet just because of the Baylor's defense. What about you? Are you going to pull the trigger?
No, I don't have this game on upset alert, Tarvin. I think that this is going to be a little bit of a shootout at first. But honestly, I just don't see Baylor. I think this game is going to go kind of how Kansas State has been playing recently, where the first half is sort of close, and then Kansas State pulls away in the second half with defense and Klein. I mean, the passing defense for Baylor is 116th, and their rushing defense is 89th. I mean, their defense is atrocious. And Kansas State actually has the ninth-ranked rushing defense in the country. So I think Kansas State will hold Baylor down a little bit. I mean, Baylor's quarterback is legitimate. There's no doubt about it. This kid is good. So we'll have to see. I mean, you're right. I mean, there is no way you can say that Baylor has no shot in this game because anything is possible. But I have them off upset alert for this game.
Well, last year Kansas State had to rally, and I think they beat them by 2 points last year in Manhattan. Now this game is in Texas now, so anything can happen. If Baylor, you know, like Sonia mentioned sometimes, if Mary, Joseph, the disciples, and the apostles are there at Baylor, yeah, Baylor has a shot. But they have to find a defense this week and play the best defense they've ever played in their life. But also, I mean, Kansas State's due for a letdown, aren't they, sometime? Or are they the 2010 Auburn team that just got it done every week?
Well, I mean, that's why you play the games. Well, we're going to find out. I mean, you know, in Kansas State, you brought some good points with the BCS. I mean, like, everybody thought Missouri was gangbusters a couple years ago, and what did they do? They went out and they lost. How about West Virginia? You know, they lost to a terrible Pitt team. So you just don't know, and especially when you're at that number one and number two ranking, and you're actually to the point where that BCS championship game is hanging at your mental, and, you know, you're the crown contender to play for it. The pressure is so heavy because those teams are coming after you. You can bet that Baylor, all they've talked about this week is wreck it. Wreck their season. You know, that's all they're like, Klein, this kid's going to win the Heisman. Wreck it. They're going to be the national championship contender. Wreck it. You can guarantee that's all that Baylor's talking about. So, you know, this isn't the Alabama who's been there 11 weeks in a row who's had to face it. This is a team that's facing it for the first time. This isn't an Oregon team that's been there before. So this is, we're going to see what they're made of, Tarvin.
You're right. I mean, they have so much to wreck, and that's what they prepare for. And, you know, you play at night at home with nothing to lose at all. I mean, you can play free. You can go for it on fourth down. You can do fake punts, field goals, anything to throw this team off. And I don't know if Kansas State is talented enough to really just to crown them champions right now and to say, hey, they're going into Baylor on the road in a conference game and just winning this because they're number one. Not so fast, I'm telling you. These games are conference games, and they're close. I mean, people just look at them. Corey Bird said not a chance in hell that Baylor could beat them. Yes, there is. Vegas thinks so, too. 11-point spread is not much in college football. I mean, I'm not calling for the upset, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Baylor won this game. But what does the chat room say? Anybody.
Kansas State.
Anybody picking Baylor out there. Anybody. Come on. Anybody.
Nope.
All right. Nobody. But, hey, that's a perfect time. If I'm picking Kansas State to win, that might be – I mean, they're going to lose. So, or they're going to wait to that last week to choke. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see. But I'll move us on to our next game, Tarvin. You know, one of the things you posted, you asked, you know, what do people want us to talk about? And somebody actually responded and said, hey, what's going on in the WAC? Those games have been incredible. You guys aren't talking about it. So I said, okay, let's put a game on there. 8-2 Utah State at number 20 La Tech. So, hey, and you asked for it, Tarvin, and people are going to get it. That's what we all are in the show. They actually Facebook messaged you, and you put it on here, Tarvin.
I would, too. This determines who wins the WAC, and I'm going to go ahead and do it right quick and predict Utah State to win this game. I look at Louisiana Tech. They're running backs out. I like them. I mean, it's not a night game in Louisiana Tech. They have zero defense. Utah State has a dual-threat quarterback, and they can run the football very well, and they're coached to play defense. So I like Utah State to win the WAC and to get it done, and I think I'm alone in this one.
Yeah, you might be. I mean, I look at La Tech, and I'm actually kind of impressed what they've done this year. They beat Illinois on the road. They beat Virginia on the road. You know, they lost to Texas A&M by 2 points. I mean, this is a team that beat Alabama. So, you know, I like what La Tech's done. This is actually a pretty good football team. I mean, their only loss is by 2 points to the team that beat Alabama. So, you know, that's good enough for me, Carmen. And I'm going to go with La Tech in this game.
Yeah, I know Sonya wants to sleep during this, but this is an actually very intriguing matchup. It really is. And Louisiana Tech does play good football, but like I said, hey, Utah State, I got to see them almost beat us last year, which is not saying much. I like Utah State to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sonya, you shouldn't sleep too much because this team took the team that actually beat your team to the final wire, so... This is a pretty good little football team. They're going to be fun to watch in the bowl games this year. I bet they're actually in a very, very fun bowl game this year. And I bet there's a high score and shootout that's fun to watch. So we're splitting our picks there, Tarvin. We'll have to see.
And Sonya said Jason's asleep. And that can't be right because, Sonya, we have the Gophers on the list.
Maybe he doesn't care about the Gophers anymore.
What is it on Waterboy? He said, well, wake her ass up then. So, wake him up, Sonya. We need a Minnesota expert, or you're going to have to play it tonight. Number eight, Trey, was a game that you and I circled before the season started, and now is it really even a game?
Yeah, well, this is also a game that when you asked that question of somebody they wanted us to talk about, somebody responded and they said, you know, how about talking about West Virginia and the colossal collapse this year. So I put the game on the schedule not only because you and I have it circled, but because, again, you know, somebody asked us to talk about the collapse of West Virginia. And it's been horrific for West Virginia, Tarvin. I mean, you can't – this team went from being number two in the country to almost, you know, in some people's polls, you know, in some of the computer ratings they were even high, I mean, to nothing. 5-4, I mean, what's going on at West Virginia, Tarvin?
Well, Jonathan said it best in the chat room. West Virginia is an absolute joke, and that's exactly what they are. They're the laughingstock of the Big 12 right now because these guys went from the penthouse to the outhouse quick. I was the one. We were both crowning Geno the Heisman Trophy winner, talking about this West Virginia team could actually, you know, make it deep, and these guys just fell off the map. I don't know what happened, but it looks like for some reason the defense wore out. I mean, instead of, you know, and the offense is not executing, turning the ball over. I just don't know what to think about them, Trey. I can't put my finger on what happened, but when you can't play defense, you can't win. And it's just a matter of time. After watching that Baylor game, I got concerned when it was, what, 80-72 or something? Watching
yeah,
that 104
game. 104-103, yeah.
Yeah, I was very concerned. And this is a West Virginia team that put up 70 on Clemson last year in the Orange Bowl, so a lot of expectations coming in. But this coach, Dana, he might need to get a haircut and learn how to play defense. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, this team's got to learn defense pretty quick because, guess what? The Big 12 is a real conference, and you can't can't sleepwalk your way to the big conference without a real complete team and a complete defense. And you know, now Tarvin, I mean, the question is do they finish strong and make a bowl? Because right now they're not bowl eligible, so they better get their stuff together. I don't think at this game, Tarvin, I think Oklahoma goes into West Virginia and routes them.
Well, Sonia made a good point, and when I read this, it hit home. They believe their own hype, and suddenly when it hit them, like she said, it just hit them like a wall, and all of a sudden these guys don't know what to do. They have no idea how to win anymore, and I think they were patting themselves on the back, all the fans, the students coming by, hey, y'all are going to the championship. Gino, you're the best thing since sliced bread. But no, I mean, like you said, you have to play the game, Trey. Week in and week out, and going to a bigger conference, and the Big 12 is a very good conference, and having to play that schedule week in and week out, it caught up to them. This is not the Big East.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the difference. Yeah. That's the big difference. Is finally they're playing high-caliber teams week in and week out that can beat you, and that's what happens when you're not conditioned for it, you're not defensively prepared. You look at LSU's, Florida's, Alabama's, those guys can have off days and still win usually because of their defense. West Virginia can't rely on that. They get worn down physically and it's over. And that's exactly what's happened to these guys. I like Oklahoma not too big in this game because it's on the road, but I like Oklahoma to pull one out by a touchdown.
Yeah. So you got them closer than the experts think, huh?
Yep.
All right, Tarvin, speaking of closer than the experts think, and maybe Quinn will call in and tell us that we're wrong, but given how Notre Dame has played at home, how do we not have them on upset alert, given the fact they're playing a terrible ACC 5-5 Wake Forest team at home? How do we not have them? Why not have them on upset alert, Tarvin?
I don't know. I mean, why even have them on this list? I guess you have it because they've struggled every game at home, so that's a good pick to put on this list. I don't know. What are they, 20-point favorite, 23-point favorites this weekend? Yeah, 23 and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just could not give Notre Dame in 23 and a half points to anyone. You know, I fell for that last weekend, giving up 20 against Boston College, thinking, you know, there's no way Notre Dame won't blow these guys out. And what do they win, 20-6? Against probably one of the worst teams in football. Terrible. So now coming back home, Wake Forest is known. They're known to be able to play sometimes. They can wake up and all of a sudden play a good game, and then they go back to hibernation for a few weeks. So Notre Dame has a lot to lose right now. They're looking ahead to USC, but I still don't think Wake Forest has enough to really beat these guys. I look for Notre Dame to shut Wake Forest down and probably to win something like 27-6.
I think that this game will be close, Tarvin, because Notre Dame has played so terribly at home. I think you're looking at a 20-7 game, but Notre Dame wins it.
Well, you know, we have our predictions, but Quinn, what do you think, buddy?
Well, if they don't call in the fourth quarter, if they don't call their offense conservatively and rack up more points, and if they don't turn the ball over, it should be a blowout. They should have put up more points against Boston College, except they turned the ball over, and then in the fourth quarter, they just started calling the offense really conservative. So it'll mainly depend on that.
So how are you going to even watch this game, Glenn?
How am I?
Is it on TV? Are they even putting that on TV? Is it going to be NBC?
Yeah, all their home games are on NBC. It's kind of nice.
Okay, yeah. I try not to flip past it much. I really haven't fallen in love with the Notre Dame Irish right now. I'm still, you know,
yeah,
after the
I know.
Oklahoma
you never
game,
have. You never
yeah,
well,
oh, oh, after the Oklahoma game, Quinn, I was very impressed, remember? I said, hey.
Yeah, but that lasted 1 week.
Well, all it took was a quadruple overtime, let the referees cheat and help Notre Dame win game that kind of got me thinking again that, oh, what happened here? So, hey, I'm not against your team, Quinn. I'm just saying, if they can beat Southern Cal, and play in the national championship game and keep it within 21 points in that game, I'll be a believer.
Okay.
I'll believe it. Let's see the chat room. Everybody in the chat room's picking Wake Forest, Quinn, to win, especially Spelling.
Good for them. But I think with teams getting a month to prepare for these BCS bowls, there's never really a blowout. So,
we'll see. We'll see about this one. But Quinn, does USC and Notre Dame play the week after this one?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely get you on here so we can break this down and hopefully get maybe Avery Rawls, the Southern Cal expert, maybe to debate you on this one. I'd like to see what both of you think. But, Quinn, man, thanks for the call. And we're going to see what the Irish do, Trey.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move on.
Our next game, Tarvin, this is a game that could decide the Big East. Number 22, 8-1 Rutgers. At 7-2 Cincinnati. Both teams have played pretty good at times. What do you think about this one?
I'm with Sonia. I might just go to sleep on this one. I like Rutgers in this one, honestly. I think Rutgers is playing good football right now. And I'm trying to see a point spread on this game. Rutgers is underdog 6.5. Oh, it's on the road, right?
Yep.
Oh, okay. This game is on the road. I like Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati still can win this conference. I thought this game was in Rutgers for some reason. But I like Cincinnati to win this game, and that's all I'm going to say. I like their offense. They can score a lot of points, so I'm going to go with the Bearcats in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Rutgers is they've proven they can win on the road. I mean, they beat an SEC team in Arkansas on the road, so I mean, you got to give them props for that. You know, Cincinnati beat Virginia Tech, which doesn't really mean much anymore. But they did beat Louisville, obviously, which is a mean something because Louisville was undefeated. So I looked at this game, and I think Cincinnati at home, they're going to get it done. I'm sorry, they lost to Louisville, but Louisville was undefeated at the time, so I meant to say. But I think that
Joshua Shaw trade. Joshua Shaw is picking Cincinnati. That ought to tell people out there something.
Well, I'm picking Cincinnati as well at home. I think the Bearcats, their losses have been very close, and both their losses have been on the road against Toledo and then Louisville. So I like Cincinnati at home.
I do, too. Take us on.
All right. So our next game, Tarvin, I'm looking at the Angry Gopher here. 6-4, Minnesota on the road against the current Big Ten favorite, Nebraska, 8-2. Where is the Angry Gopher?
The Angry Gopher just clicked on to want to talk about this game. And in Minnesota, bowl eligible. The pressure is off now, Trey, going on the road to Nebraska. And we both know how Nebraska plays. I'm interested to see what the Angry Gopher says about this one. What's going on, Jason?
What's up, man? Okay, so at the beginning of the year, when I did my picks and how we do, I had two marked definite losses. One was Michigan, and the other one was Nebraska. They got to go to Lincoln. So I don't see much hope in this game. Maybe they'll give us a 14-point handicap. But no, I don't think this is going to be a game. I'm actually more interested in the Wisconsin-Ohio State game.
Well, Trey, I think everybody's going to pick Nebraska. So, Jason, we might skip this right quick and get out of order. I'm not for sure, but I want to talk about this game, if that's okay with you, Trey.
About which game?
It's actually the next one on the list, I think. Ohio State and Wisconsin, Jason. This line is Wisconsin's favorite 2.5 in Wisconsin. So talk about this game with us since you're our expert here.
A couple of things. Number one, it's not the same Wisconsin we saw at the beginning of the year. And two, probably the biggest factor, it's in Madison. Madison is a tough place to play. Bucky will be running up those stairs. My feeling, I watch a lot of the Ohio State games. They just, they haven't impressed me yet. And I think it's really going to boil down to, I think Ball's going to run for 150, 160 yards. I think it's going to be Ball and Braxton.
Okay. So I
see Wisconsin.
The defense of Ohio State. What do you think about their defense in this game on the road?
Tarvin, nobody plays defense in the Big Ten. Nobody.
At all.
So, you know, it's, I just see them running for like thousands of yards. I just see it. It'll be close. I'll give them that. But the thing with Ohio State is they play to the level of their competition, so they'll play just good enough to almost win. I just have this feeling they're due for a loss. I mean, and it's going to come against the Cheeseheads.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on Ohio State yet, and also like not going to a bowl game. How does that really affect them? Does it take the pressure off, or does it just really not give them much to play for?
Well, you know, it's that's the other factor too. This game matters for Wisconsin. I mean, this matters for the Big Ten championship. So, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, it's a big game for them. I mean, they're going to come to play.
TOSU fans, and no offense to the cool ones, I mean, the ones that are out there, but the one thing that I'm so tired of hearing is, you know, TOSU is undefeated. TOSU is undefeated. We count. No, you don't. You don't really. You're just playing for yourself. You don't go anywhere. And it's like every time we have a discussion on in one of the groups and we're talking about undefeated teams in a national championship, there's always a TOSU fan that jumps in and has to remind everybody they're undefeated, and we have to remind them, yeah, but you don't count. You're not relevant to this conversation. So personally, I really hope Wisconsin just beats them so they can just shut up. I mean, I'm just sick of it. So anyway, back to the expert.
Well, Sonia, I have a funny thing. Corey Bird in the chat room said Ronnie Bunch 101.
Yeah, exactly. He's the main one that I want to just shut up, dude.
Yeah,
you're not relevant.
I actually made a comment in one of the boards, you know, that you could stick probably Tennessee up in the Big Ten and they'd run the table.
Wow. So tell me honestly, Jason, and be honest with us, I'm an Auburn fan. How would Auburn do in the Big Ten? Be honest.
Better than Michigan State. They'd be mid-level.
Four wins, five wins maybe?
I'd say seven.
Okay. Well, I would hope so. Maybe we can go to the Big Ten and get us in a bowl game or something.
I mean, I would say Auburn could probably beat six or seven of the Big Ten teams flat out. Wouldn't even be a game against Iowa. Northwestern they beat us. I mean, I wouldn't want my Gophers playing Auburn. So
I wouldn't either, honestly.
So you know I. Yeah, Auburn would actually have, you know, a decent season by Big Ten standards.
Yeah, and if they were good, they'd be top.
Well, I see an Ohio State team, guys, and Trey, tell me if I'm wrong. I see a above-average team when I look at Ohio State, when I look at everything about them, and they're undefeated right now. So that tells me a lot.
We're not – the thing is, Tarvin, nobody is saying that TOSU is not playing better, you know, or playing well for the Big Ten. But it's the Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you look at the conference, and when Jason did the spreadsheet last week and really broke it down, and you look at – they've only played two ranked teams, and one of those teams is now unranked. And the way that they're – that some – I'm not going to say all – but the way some of their fans are acting is if, you know, they should be ranked and they should be this and they should be that. I mean, I'm one of those people that believes if you are a team that's on probation, and if this even goes for Bama, I don't care. If you cannot play for your conference championship or bowl or anything, you should not be ranked because you're screwing it up. And what's going on is these TOSU fans are coming in and they're acting like they're relevant, and you have no dog in this hunt at all. It's like, ooh, let it go. Yes, you're undefeated, and I'm giving props to the players and props to the team, but you're undefeated in the Big Ten. Come on. Look at the Big Ten right now.
And the other factor, Tarvin, I just want to remind everyone that Ohio State barely beat Purdue.
It took overtime.
And my Gophers pretty much destroyed Purdue.
So that lets you
know. Yeah, that's saying a lot. Yeah, that's saying a lot right there. I mean, that was a come-from-behind miracle win. It was a miracle win.
They barely beat Michigan State.
Yep.
And even Wes says, freaking Michigan State sucks.
And he's a big MSU fan. The Big Ten is just not competitive this year. They're just not the same Big Ten as, you know, as in the past. And the one thing that they do, or some of their fans do, I have to keep saying some, I don't want to say all, is it's okay for them to talk about their past glories and their past championships and everything else, but don't let an SEC or a PAC or another conference team fan bring theirs up. Then, oh, no, what are you doing now? Okay, well, it's the same thing. What are you doing now? You might be undefeated, but you can't do anything with it.
Exactly. They shouldn't even be ranked because, like you said, Sonia, honestly, they don't matter right now.
They don't. And it's. I mean, I feel bad for the players because they are playing their hearts out. And they, if the Big Ten was a monster conference the way they used to be, and if TOSU was able to play for the conference championship bowl games postseason, I would be giving them mad props. But at this point, the only thing they're doing is just getting in the way. They're like that annoying gnat, you know, where you're just like, just go away. You know, you don't count now, and your conference is not as good as you think it is.
Yeah, but even if they go undefeated, guys, it's not going to matter. So at least when we look at the BCS, we don't have to see them. But so guys, thanks for calling in and breaking these games down with us. And Sunday night, we'll have a lot to talk about regarding these games.
Yeah, no problem, Tarvin.
All right, you guys have a good one. See you, Trey.
Later, guys.
All right. Guys. Have a good one. That was some good analysis. Jason likes Wisconsin pretty good in this game. And I honestly, Trey, I do too. I like Wisconsin to win this game, pull it out at home, and give Ohio State its first loss. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, five words, and then there were three. I mean, Ohio State loses this week, and we have three, and they're going to be one less than beaten to worry about. I mean, obviously we're not worrying about them in the national championship hunt, but they can stop talking about being undefeated. They're going to lose this weekend.
Yep, I agree, and I think people in the chat room, they haven't really broken this game down, but we've had a lot going since then. But take us on to our next one.
Yeah, our next game, Carmen, looking at our first of our actually ranked games. There's only three of them this week where you have ranked opponents facing each other. This is the number 23, 7-3 Texas Tech Red Raiders at the number 24, 6-3 Oklahoma State.
Well, just looking at it, Tommy Tuberville, I don't think we talked about this before, but slapped his grad assistant in the head, knocked his headphones off in his hat. A lot of turmoil on that team right now. Tommy's up, down. This Texas Tech team doesn't know if they want to even beat Kansas or not. They barely survived last week. I give them zero chance of going on the road and beat Oklahoma State right now. I think that's going to be too much for them to actually try to score with these guys. Granted, Texas Tech can play offense too, but I just like Oklahoma State top-powered offense at home to get it done. There's something else going on in that Texas Tech program. I'm also hearing Tuberville could be looking at other jobs, so keep that in mind when you're predicting this game.
That's interesting. Interesting Tuberville insider information. You know, looking at, you know, you're talking about Oklahoma State at home. They have played pretty decent at home, Tarvin, you know. So, you know, I do think that Tuberville and what's going on with especially the slapping the player is going to be a distraction going into this game. And because any kind of you have a distraction, you have a team that's been inconsistent, as Texas Tech is, I always like the team that's playing at home. So I like Oklahoma as well.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, and I think people in the chat room are liking them as well. So, yeah, Texas Tech. But hold on a minute before we go off this game. Did you hear Tommy Tuberville comment about hitting his grad assistant?
No, I didn't.
He said what he meant to do was pull him off the field, but he slipped and he hit him. Yeah, I mean, it just, you can just tell by looking at it. When you study someone, and I've been taught to tell when people's lying by looking at their body language, their eyes and everything, Tommy didn't want to make eye contact. And he kept going around to the point that kept saying, well, I meant to pull him off the field. So he kept repeating something. So you know as well as I do, he meant to hit the guy. He lost his temper. He just needs to come out and say that. People just want you to be human. They don't want you to lie, bold-faced lie to their face. Just say, look, I lost my head. It was an intense moment. Be done. It's not like he stabbed him. Yeah, but he lied bold-faced, and I think that's a big deal when you lie about something like that. I mean, does Tupperville think everybody's stupid?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you do something wrong, it's not about, you know, the fact that you did it. It's about how you handle it after the fact. And, you know, so this is one of those instances.
Yeah, and Tupperville is a used car salesman everywhere he's been, and it's not changing, but I'm not buying this used car. Tubby lied, and everybody in the country is making fun of it. Just come out and say, look, I screwed up, be done with it, it's over with. It's not like you locked a player in a shed or anything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a mistake. It wasn't like, you know, far worse has been done in college football, you know, but just kind of own up to your mistake.
Exactly. All right. Well, take us all.
Our next game is an interesting game, Tarvin. I'm interested to see what you think about this one. We have the actual UCLA Bruins outrank USC Trojans. They're 8-2 against the 7-3 Trojans. What do you think about this one? Are you going to go with USC losing this game?
Nope. I like USC to win this game on the road. It's a 3.5-point spread. But here's the deal. Southern Cal knows they have a lot to play for by ruining people's seasons. And it all starts with Notre Dame in a couple of weeks. But also, to be able to ruin Oregon's season, they have to win this game. So I like Southern Cal to get this game done. I don't think UCLA is ready yet. They're pumped up. I wonder how clean this game will be played. I think it'll be a lot of emotion, maybe some fights breaking out, but I like Southern Cal to be able to outscore them with Matt Barkley and company, so I like Southern Cal.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd like to pick UCLA in this game, UCLA's defense, their passing defense, is 100th in the nation. USC still has a receiver who's going to go in the top 10 in the draft in Matt Barkley. So, you know, I mean, because of that, I think USC is going to score on UCLA. So I think, you know, again, I think USC is going to win a very close game, Tarvin. I think this game is going to come down to the very end, but I think it's going to come down to the fact that Matt Barkley has the ball in his hand and they're going against that really poor passing defense of UCLA. I think that's what's going to end up killing UCLA in this game, is the fact that Matt Barkley is going to light them up.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking Southern Cal. You're picking Southern Cal. Chris Smelly's picking Southern Cal. I don't think everybody else is picking UCLA. That's surprising. A lot of people are picking UCLA. Joshua Shaw is picking UCLA. So, Trey, last chance. You want to change your pick now that you saw Josh Shaw?
No, I don't. I know he says they have UCLA as a defensive head coach, not a good game plan, but they're still 100th in the nation against the pass, and you can't change your personality. I mean, you can change your scheme, but they've been lit up all season long against the pass, so.
Yeah, Brian Burgess says in the chat room he's seen the UCLA play in person and they're for real. And this is coming from an LSU fan that knows what football is, you know. So if he's saying UCLA's for real, I'm going to believe him because I trust his opinion in football. But I'm still going to have to pick Southern Cal just because of what's left to play. But, you know, who could beat Oregon the best? Do you think Southern Cal has a better chance to beat Oregon or UCLA when it comes down to it?
I think it's going to be USC has a better shot. I mean, here's the thing about UCLA. I mean, they just gave up 36 points to an awful, awful Washington State team. So, you know, that defense is just not ready to compete with Oregon in a championship, like in, you know, a Pac-12 championship setting.
All right, Trey. We got a 661 area code on. I think I know who this is, but I'm not sure. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello, 661.
Well, 661 didn't want to talk, Trey. They have one. Well, let me try to go back. They do have their hand up to talk, so let me make sure. 661, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Who's this?
This is John White.
Hey, John White. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Listen, what do you guys think about these Falcons?
Well, what about the Falcons? So we're having trouble connecting right there. Sorry about that. There's a bad connection on it. All right, Trey. I got Southern Cal. You have Southern Cal. It's going to be a great game to watch. I'm surprised this didn't make your number one.
Yeah, it was a toss-up, Tarvin. But, you know, when it comes down, I went with the actual rankings and the fact that we have the number two team in the country going against the top 15 team. That's got to be number one.
Okay, well, you know, to me, this Oregon-Stanford game is not even going to be close. I mean, I think Oregon's going to rout them. I think Stanford is just a matchup issue. I don't think Stanford has any kind of speed to be able to match it. If they can run the ball and churn a lot of clock, and I mean a lot of clock, and Oregon turn the ball over, I like their chances a little better, but I think Oregon's too much.
Let me ask you this. I mean, does the fact that Stanford, you know, you picked it, you know, against them last week and they went out and won the game, does that give you any hesitancy that they may be able to play a little bit better than you think they can?
I have. Ever since Andrew Luck, I've kind of put these guys down a little bit. But they play SEC-style football, though. I mean, they run the ball well. They play too tight. They're well coached. Stanford's a good football team, but even with Andrew Luck last year, they got smoked by Oregon. And Oregon's a lot better team than they were last year, Trey. And that's my only concern is, even with Andrew Luck there, they couldn't get it done. And I think it was in Stanford that day. And now they're going to Eugene in a night game. I just think Oregon rolls. But one thing, Oregon looked like they were starting to get banged up. And last week, their whole entire first-string defense was out almost due to being banged up and injury. So are you concerned at all about Oregon stopping the run of Stanford?
Yeah, I absolutely am. I think that some of the Oregon's defensive, you know, being banged up a little bit is a little bit problematic. We're going to see, because some of the problems we've seen in Oregon is the depth of that defense. So they've actually given up quite a few points with the depth. So, I mean, does, you know, we have some Oregon fans, so tell us, I mean, are you guys concerned at the depth of your defense and some of the injuries you have? Because I think you should be. I mean, I don't think you lose this game. I'm picking Oregon. But I think some of those are definitely causes for concern.
All right. Well, Trey, we have a big Duck fan on the line, Jason Humphrey. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, Trey. Ryan, it's
hey.
Me, Jason, to talk about some Ducks. So what's your guys' questions, per se?
My question is, Trey wants to know the depth factor of Oregon. Is it a concern of you right now?
Yes and no. I would say yes because Stanford just won that power running game. But no, because last week they really stiffened down in the second half against Cal. That game was a 24-17 game, and Oregon won that game 59-17. So yes and no. I think Oregon's going to load up the box. Make Hogan, so freshman, making his second career start throw the ball against Hogan. So
okay, all right. So,
yeah.
So Jason, tell me right now, who do you want to play in the national championship game if you make it?
I want Hogan to play. Right now, I'm focusing on Stanford, and why not? If we make it, that's great. If we don't, we don't. So yeah, I'll answer about Stanford, but national title game, I'll talk about that game in December. And
well, Trey, I wonder if Jason Humphrey's a coach. That sounds like a Nick Saban answer there or something.
One week at a time. I like it when fans play the same game the coaches do. We don't look past the next opponent.
Great. Okay, Jason, I have a question for you, Jason.
Yes.
Yeah. In the Pac-12 championship game, who do you like your chances of beating better, Southern Cal or UCLA?
I would say UCLA because it's definitely tough to beat somebody twice. Why not?
Okay.
But I do like our favorite playing at home. So I would pick UCLA, but I'll feel confident beating USC again. USC couldn't stop us. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Jason, man, we want you in Sunday to discuss the Ducks, and after this weekend, I think it's going to be start getting very intense with Oregon's game at Eugene, or you know, at their rival Oregon State, and then the Pac-12 championship.
One more quick stat that I wanted to give you guys: Marcus Mariota has not turned over the ball the last four games ever since Arizona State. So. Marcus Mariota is really taking care of the ball. And if he does that next 3 weeks, we should be in Miami. So.
All right, Jason, you just jinxed the Ducks. So look for the quarterback to have four turnovers this weekend. Jason, we'll talk to you then. So Lacey's calling in. Joshua, you go ahead and call in, and we'll get y'all's picks real quick. I think Lacey's on the line now. I'm going to grab her. What's up, Lacey?
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good. How is the champion of the Pick'em doing?
Better than Chris Smelly.
Uh-oh, Chris, you heard it. Chris Smelly's out there listening right now. He's wanting to watch you fall flat on your face tonight picking these games. So he's keeping tabs on your picks.
Tell him to sit back and take notes, okay? Maybe he'll win a week.
Well, I'm going to start out. I'm going to see real quick if Josh is going to call in. Josh, go ahead and call in. And Lacey, I'm going to do the NFL games with you real quick, and Trey's going to do the college. I'm going to start in the NFL with you on game five. Let me get my sheet back. I'm off the NFL now. So number five, drum roll, please, Trey.
I can't do a drum roll.
No drum roll.
I have it now.
Josh is on the line with it, so I'm going to bring him on. I'm going to do the NFL with you two, and I'm turning it over to Trey for the college. So what's up, Mr. Vegas? Josh, are you there, bud?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Trey, the guy doesn't even know his name.
You know? No, I was like, come on, Josh, you're Ocean's 12 here, buddy.
I'm definitely not Mr. Vegas.
I saw a movie about you, Josh. It's called Two for the Money. Matthew McConaughey played you in the movie. So, all right, Lacey's with you. You two tied this week. You beat us, so you get to pick the game. So I'm going to start in the NFL. Like I said, Trey's going to do the college. And Lacey, ladies first, the Broncos are at home against the Chargers. Who do you like?
I like the Broncos easily.
Okay. You like Peyton Manning. You think he's cute, right?
No. I just think he's pretty good at football. And I think that he can pull this out easily.
Oh, yeah. And Smelly said he's pulling for Joshua tonight in this. So you're already an underdog. Everybody's against you, Lacey.
That's fine. Haters. Bunch of haters out there.
All right, Josh, who do you have, Denver or the Chargers?
I've got Denver. It's hard to pick against them right now. They're playing really good football right now. And Peyton Manning's on fire. He may just be the MVP.
Yeah, he could be, and that's a great point. He's playing a lot better than I thought he would at this time. So both of you have the same pick in this one, Green Bay at Detroit Sunday. Who do you like, Lacey?
I like my Packers, even though I read somewhere that Clay Matthews is going to be out due to his hamstring, but I think Packers will still win.
And because Aaron Rodgers is a Q, right?
Duh.
He's more gentle.
All right. She's got Green Bay. Joshua, who do you have?
I've been waiting for this. I have you fooled. Sue is my boy, but because he's a Nebraska boy, but I am actually going with the Green Bay Packers. They've turned their season around. They're on fire. I don't
That's
know
right.
how the Detroit secondary stops Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I'm sorry, Chris. I thought you picked Detroit, and I apologize. So I couldn't
it's
really
good.
Tell. I know you said something about Sue, so I just took that as Detroit. So my apologies. All right, the Patriots playing Andrew Luck and the Colts. Lacey, who do you have? That's two quarterbacks you probably like.
Not really. Anyways, I like the Patriots at home, but only because they're at home.
Okay. All right, Josh?
I got the Patriots. Andrew Luck is a great story. He'll be a top quarterback in a couple of years. I think by his third year, he'll be an MVP type of quarterback. But what's surprising me is the Patriots defense. They're really causing some problems for opposing offenses. They're coming up with turnovers, and I'm really impressed with their defense.
Okay. Well, both of you on the same page here. All right, Lacey, Pittsburgh's at home without Ben Roethlisberger against the Ravens.
I pick the Ravens right here. I don't think that Leftwich is going to do it.
Okay. Josh?
I got the Ravens. I think the Big Ben injury is huge. And as you guys pointed out, that Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark are both out. Big Ben's injury is pretty serious. One article mentioned actually life-threatening, so I really think that's a serious injury for the Steelers. I don't like Leftwich as a starter.
Okay, I agree totally. Number one game, there's no point spread on this game. San Francisco coming off the tie at home is playing at home against the Chicago Bears, and Jay Cutler is doubtful in this game. I think that concussion really got him this week. So, Lacey, who do you have?
With a heavy heart, the 49ers. Poor Cutler. Hope you get better, baby.
All right, Cutler, if you're out there listening, and I'm sure you are, Lacey shouts out to you. Hope you get better. So, Josh, who do you like in this one real quick?
I like the Niners at home. Whether Alex Smith plays or not, they didn't play well against St. Louis, and this is going to be one of those redemption games for them.
Okay. Well, that's the NFL segment. Trey, take us to the college, sir.
All right. So, by the way, if you're Chris Mellon, you got to like that Lacey is basically already cheating this. She's already basically celebrating this week before she's
God.
Already won it. So.
Oh.
All right, Chris Mellon. Hopefully I got you back on my island. I zinged her on the message board and I got her online. Okay. So, I thought I'd move us on.
Mute him. Just mute him, please. God.
All right. So, I'm moving on to college. By the way, Charvin, I gotta say that the Chiefing, that is the best adjective I've ever heard. That celebration the Chiefs did on a touchdown that didn't even count was incredible. incredible that the Chiefs are so terrible and celebrate in a way that doesn't actually matter on a touchdown. The Chiefs are so terrible. Sorry if you're a Chiefs fan, but your team is awful. Alright, moving on to college. Our 10 game, number one Kansas State going on the road against Baylor.
Yeah, I pick Kansas State on this one.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
I got K-State. K-State's made me a believer. I'm really pulling for them because they've never been in a national title game, and the same for Oregon. But, I mean, I'm a real believer in Optimus Klein. I think it's going to be difficult to take the Heisman away from him. And Baylor's defense is garbage. I mean, you saw what West Virginia did to them earlier this year.
Yeah, they're terrible.
All right, moving on to our big WAC showcase that somebody asked us to do, the 8-2 Utah State Aggies at the actually ranked number 29-1 La Tech.
I'm going to take Wojcik on this one. They scored like 50 points or more in the last 8 out of 10 games. So, I think they
look
got
at Lacey with a stat. Yeah. How about that?
I know. Watch out.
All right, Woo. Josh. She just statted you, so you better come right back. Josh, what do you got?
I like Wojcik. They lost only by 2 to Texas A&M, and A&M just beat the number one team in the country. I mean, if that doesn't say anything, then I don't know what does. I mean, Wojcik has been putting up video game numbers this whole year, and I don't see them stopping now.
All right. Joshua cited my stat from earlier. Josh wins that round. All right. And, Josh, by the way, no pressure going into this week that you're the three-time champion. If Lacey beats you this week, no pressure. There's no pressure. We'll put on this way as well.
I can take a loss.
Can you really take it to Lacey? Because I think Smelly may actually have something to say on that one. All right, number eight game, Oklahoma going on the road against West Virginia.
I picked Oklahoma. Oklahoma is 3-0 on the road so far. So.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
West Virginia, defense, garbage. Same thing as Baylor. I mean, they're just getting dominated. I mean, they're playing real teams now. And Oklahoma, they've got a quarterback that can easily throw for over 400 yards. It's not even a question here. And Oklahoma can run the ball. If you don't go with Oklahoma, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Lacey, do you want to change your pick to West Virginia?
No, that's all right.
No. You made a strong pitch, Josh, but you couldn't convince her. All right, number seven, 5-5, Wake Forest on the road against the number three, the Fighting Irish. Upset special? I'm going to go Josh. You're on first.
Okay, watch out. Wake Forest is going to keep it close, but Notre Dame is going to win by a touchdown or less. It's going to be real close.
Oh, I like that one, Tarvin. What do you think?
I can't argue with Josh, man. He's two for the money. He's Matthew McConaughey, man.
All right, Lacey, does Josh know what he's talking about in this game?
No, just tell Glenn to put on his hater blockers for this game. I mean, I picked Notre Dame to win, but I don't think that they're going to cover.
All right, there you go. We all kind of think it's going to be a little closer than everybody thinks on this one. I think the spread's really high in this, Tarvin. I don't know if they've even covered a spread all year, so we'll have to see. Number six game, our Big East special. Number 22, 8-1 Rutgers at Cincinnati. Josh, you picking Cincinnati in this game?
Yes, I love Cincy at home, and I also think Rutgers is a little overrated. I mean, I saw them a couple of weeks ago against the MAC team in Kent State, and they just blew it. I mean, they were heading towards an undefeated season, and they really choked. I mean, you know, and it's the Big East. I mean, anything can happen, as we've seen in the past few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Lacey, what do you think? Are you going to stay with Cincinnati at home, or are you going to take the ranked Rutgers team?
I think Cincinnati, they're 5-0 at home, so I think they'll keep the streak going.
Yeah, and just know, just tell Smelly right now, you got to bring stats like that if you ever win this, right, Lacey?
Just tell him to just go away. Just go away. God.
All right. Our number five game, the Angry Gophers, the 6-4 Gophers are on the road. It's not a night game in Lincoln, but it's actually, for those folks who actually have been to games in Lincoln, know there's a difference in a night game and a day game in Lincoln. So, Josh, This is your boys. What do you think? What do you think about the Cornhuskers in this game?
Believe it or not, Nebraska is going to win, but it's not going to be a blowout like everything thinks it is. I mean, or thinks it will be. I mean, the spread is 20 points, and Nebraska really plays to make it interesting. This whole year, I mean, 4 straight weeks they've came back from deficits. You know, Penn State, Northwestern, Michigan State, and I think they were down to Michigan at one point, too. But, I mean, you know, they make it interesting, more interesting than it should be. They have a lot of talent, but just knowing them, it will be closer than anyone thinks it will be, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting point about Nebraska. You know, and obviously Taylor Martinez has been inconsistent at times. So, Lacey, what do you think about Minnesota's chances on the road?
I don't know. I just don't like their chances. I pick Nebraska. I think if Nebraska gets the win and Michigan falls to Iowa, Nebraska will clinch the division. So I think this is a must-win for them.
Hey, Trey. All right, Trey. Smelly just tuned in and said that Lacey's been Googling ever since this morning.
Oh, my God. Someone actually has a job during the day, and I don't have time.
and he has the text messages to prove it, he says.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I like to see the evidence, Smelly. So let's turn over this
send
evidence.
Them. To ma- Please send them.
And I will judge this debate next week, Tarvin. We're going to have this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to take an in-camera review of this evidence, and we're going to see if she is guilty of Googling all day in these stats.
Oh.
Trey, I can give your cell phone number out on the air here. Is that okay?
No, let's not do that. All right, I'm going to move us on to the unbeaten Buckeyes on the road in Wisconsin. What do you think, Josh?
Oh, the old upset alert right here. Bucky is going to be ready, and you know what? Ohio State's defense is finally going to get the nail in the coffin. Ohio State's undefeated season is over as of this week.
That's a great pick, Josh, a great pick. Lacey, is that a great pick?
That is not a great pick. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm sorry.
I'm offended.
I don't know. I'm going to pick overrated state just because I can.
No analysis, Tarvin. I think she likes their colors.
Yeah.
You got jokes, Trey.
All right, wait. You could be right because I think everyone and their mom is picking Wisconsin. So, you know, we'll see. It definitely call in on Sunday if you're the winner of this. If not, you probably don't want to call in, but we'll just roast you on the message board. So, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this could be – obviously Ohio State has a shot in this game. They've played every game on the road very close. They've won them all. I do think Josh is right, but we'll see. I mean, Ohio State's undefeated for a reason. Tarvin, so
Lacey, Brian Burgess said that was a great pick, Lacey.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. Such a gentleman.
And Jonathan Miklos said he just lost a week. So, I mean. All right. I'm going to move on to the ranked games. Lacey, I'll let you start since you just, you know, bucked the curve. Number 23, Texas Tech on the road against number 24, Oklahoma State.
I picked Texas Tech in this game, only because Oklahoma State, I think that they have three questionable quarterbacks. I don't know. Yes, I had to look this game up because I don't really know. You caught me on this game, but I picked Texas Tech.
All right. What do you have there, Shaw?
I agree on the QB situation for Oklahoma State. However, it's hard for me to go against them at their home stadium, and I think Texas Tech's going to come out distracted because of the Tuberville incident, which is completely out of line. I mean, I just don't see how Texas Tech can pull this one off. It may be close, but I think they have too much distraction for them to win this game.
All right, definitely in line with what Tarvin and I said earlier. So our next ranked game, our top two are in the Pac-12, USC on the road against UCLA, who outranks them. Lacey, what do you think about this one?
I actually picked UCLA. Their quarterback, Brett, he's completed like 82% of his passes. He has 14 passing touchdowns in the last three games. So I think that's a big stat right there.
All right, and Josh, is that a Is that a not-so-fast moment for you, buddy?
No, believe it or not, I love UCLA at home. I mean, they took out my Huskers there. I have to respect them for that. And one thing that I saw is UCLA gave up 10 points to Arizona, and USC gave up 33 points to Arizona. I keep seeing UCLA's defense improve, and USC's defense seems to be getting worse as the season is going along. So I do like UCLA to win in the Rose Bowl on Saturday.
Josh, do you have any concern given the amount of points they gave up to Washington State last week?
Well, Washington State is Washington State, but I truly think UCLA, whether it's the shootout or not, I think they have the firepower to outscore UCLA.
All right, that's an important game for the pick'em again, Tarvin. I mean, that could be the game that decides this one. Tarvin and I picking USC, so we'll have to see. I think that game actually is going to be very entertaining. It could go either way. I think UCLA has a great shot. So, number one game, I mean, nobody was giving any shot to Stanford in this game, Josh. Do they have a shot against Oregon on the road?
Well, you always have a shot, but I only think Stanford can keep this game interesting for a half. I mean, I don't see them lasting in the second half. I've seen teams hang with Oregon for about a half, and then in the second half they just turn it up and they score left and right. They don't mess around when it's time to close out a game.
So you're definitely going with Oregon then.
Yeah, especially at home. I mean, in Eugene, it's really not a contest, in my opinion.
I'm sorry. I'm Lacey, before you make your pick, there's been some evidence posted on a message board. I'm just going to read this to you. It says, Lacey, I've been studying for this pick'em thing for tonight. I've been listening to it when I'm driving up there tonight.
Wait. I studied for the NFL because I don't really know NFL that much, as well as I do college, okay? So tell Chris Smelly to suck it.
I got to tell you, and as the judge in all this, Tarvin, that is not the definitive that's not studying and Googling are different things to me. Studying can be lots of things. So I was looking for more definitive proof, Smelly. Lacey, what do you have? I think that's highly circumstantial, but we're gonna move on. But pretty good stuff tonight. All right, Lacey, what do you have in the Stanford Oregon game?
Okay, I picked Oregon, but I think that it'll be a little bit closer than everyone thinks. Stanford has the 7th defense in the nation. I know Oregon has scored average 50.4 points per game, but I don't know. I think it'll be closer than everyone thinks.
And Lacey, I think you were on my Stanford Island last week, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, see, I mean, Stanford might have a shot at this game. This game could be closer. We'll have to see. I think it's going to, Jason brought up a good point when he called in. You know, they got to turn the ball over, because if they do, I think Stanford jumps on those opportunities. But everybody's picking Oregon, which is smart, Tarvin. So, Tarvin, great job from our guest pickers. You know, Joshua Shaw's at it again, third win, dominating the competition. So, Lacey, good job this week on joining Joshua Shaw on the dominant ranks that he's had.
All right, guys. Thank you all very much for joining us. It's been entertaining, and we'll see how you do. Make sure you put your picks, though, on our Weigh-In Sports Talk message board just so we can document them, too. But we're almost out of time, guys. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
All
right.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, Trey, we got about a minute left. Any final thoughts before we go?
Just final thoughts on NBA basketball. You talked about Memphis, Tarvin. They beat Oklahoma City by 10 tonight to go to 6-1. So look, they're pretty good to me.
And Jonathan, we wanted to talk about NASCAR. We ran out of time. So, Jonathan, call in, and we'll let you talk about your Jeff Gordon, the fight that happened. And we'll talk about that Sunday if we can. But great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Follow us at Twitter, at Weigh-In Sports. And go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. That's T as in Tom, A-R, V as in Victor, I-N-O. and follow us, and that way you can get all the emails and updates of the show. We have a lot of followers now, getting more, and just make sure you like us on Facebook, and we also have a message board, Weigh In Sports, on Facebook as well, that you can join and chat. But great show, Trey. Thanks for everything, and we will see you later. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.